You know, one of our greatest weaknesses, something that we all struggle with, is self-pity. And it's interesting that we were in the men's breakfast yesterday. We had a brother share his testimony. His name is Tom, a friend of Paul. And Paul, I'm sure you known them a long time ago from the past church that they were part of. And he brought six of his other buds with him or something, seven, eight, or with the CMAers, the Christian Motorcycle Association. But Tom gave his testimony of how he had lost his wife of how many years was it? 41 and a half years. And just an incredible story of a man who was willing to trust God and not blame God and not get bitter, but the Lord actually asked him, "Are you willing to give her to me?" And he had to come to that place. Wow. You think about Abraham when he was asked to take Isaac and offer him. What he must have been thinking, his prized possession, his only son, you know. But he was willing to do whatever the Lord had asked him to do. But we're all tempted to spare ourselves and to pity ourselves. And even though we are tempted with self-pity, we should never allow it to defeat us. So the title of the message is The Temptation of Self-Pity. The Temptation of Self-Pity. How many of you remember where you were on September 11th? Just about everybody that was alive then, right, remembers September 11th. And the hijacked Flight 93, I'm going to remember that, the one that went down in the field in Pennsylvania. And it was destined for the White House, they believe, and brave souls. They unselfishly gave themselves for their country and brought the plane down in a field in Pennsylvania. And, well, one might argue and say, well, they were going to die anyways. But that's just the point. You and I are going to die anyways. We're going to die. You can't get out of that. And so the question is what are you going to do with the time that you have? Are we going to waste another day just living for self? I hear many times people talk about, well, they had a good life. They had the best of everything. They were connoisseurs of restaurants. They golfed well. They, whatever it might have been, you know. The real question is how much of that is going to remain? Not that God's against golf, but what are our priorities in life? Is our priority the kingdom, the will of God for us? Or is it just temporary satisfaction in a temporary world? As we said before, we're on a sinking ship. Amen. This world is a sinking ship. You know, and you don't want to go down with this ship. Amen. So if you're on a sinking ship, what's the best thing to do? Get off, right? Get off the sinking ship. But get on the ark, Christ Jesus. Amen. He's our boat of safety. Hallelujah. He's the only place where there's safety. Hallelujah. And safety for your soul. So you're going to die someday. I'm going to die someday. None of us here have experienced that yet, have we? No. Some people said they've died and come back, but I didn't know. I want to make sure. Anyways, how many know that self-pity can prevent us from living out the will of God for our lives? It can prevent us from fulfilling our destiny, our God-given destiny. And I wanted to read from Matthew chapter 16 this morning, verse 13, beginning. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Now, that's the same kind of reaction you get today, the response you get today. People have all kinds of opinions of who Jesus is. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And you know, Simon Peter was the one, the outspoken one. He answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You're the Messiah, in other words. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter," and that word Peter means little stone or little rock. "And on this rock," and that word rock means Petra or big boulder. So he says, you are a little boulder or a little rock, and you're going to be built upon a big rock, and I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, he's going to give Peter what? Authority, right? How many believe that you have authority in Jesus' name? Amen. And we need to know that, and we need to stand on the truth. Amen. Because the enemy doesn't want you to believe that you have authority in Jesus' name. Because he wants to browbeat you. He wants to beat you down. He wants to take advantage of you. You know, and he can do that if he has a person that doesn't know who they are in Christ. Even as a Christian, you know, you can be tormented by the devil. God doesn't want you to tolerate that devil. But God has given you and me the authority in his name, amen, to destroy the works of the devil. And he wants to destroy those works in us, amen. Before, as we said before we can take a city, we've got to take ourselves. And then he commanded his disciples, verse 20, that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. And then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." But Jesus turned, didn't he? And he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Now, think about how strongly Jesus rebuked Peter for doing something that in Peter's own human reasoning made perfect sense. Peter loved Jesus. He didn't want to see Jesus suffer. So he was going to defend Jesus. He's going to come to his rescue. And in Peter's mind, that seemed like the logical or reasonable thing to do in such a case. But how many know that God's ways are not our ways? Amen, somebody. And so sometimes our own logic gets us in trouble. Or we can even find ourselves being in the position of an adversary rather than a friend of God, by using our own reason, but not submitting ourselves to the will of God and knowing the mind of Christ. So what did Jesus come to do? Well, he came to bear witness to the truth, didn't he? And he came to bear the sins of the world on the cross. So what was Peter doing? He was actually unknowingly tempting Jesus to disobey the will of the Father by relying upon his own human reasoning to correct what he thought was a situation that needed correcting. But it was for that reason that Jesus had come, to be our sacrifice, to be our Lord, amen, and Savior. In Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." You know what this means, right? It means to utterly disown. We're under new management, ownership. "And take up his cross and follow me." Receive, amen, the cross. Receive the mission of God for your life, the purpose of God for you. "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it." See, when the Lord speaks to us, sometimes, you know, we're trying to use our human understanding, our human reasoning to figure out, what does he mean by this? It doesn't seem to make sense, because in this life, we're all about saving ourselves. Right? Pitying ourselves. And yet he's saying, if you're going to be my follower, you have to disown yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And whoever desires to save his life will lose it. This is the opposite of what we've been programmed to think. "But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Interesting. In other words, in order for me to really live in the spirit, I have to give up my life in this world. Oh, some of you, I know you're thinking right now, "You mean I have to give, what do I have to give up? What do I have to give up?" I think the same thing. What do I have to give up if I'm going to follow you? How many know that God's ways are higher than our ways? They're better than our ways. They're superior to our ways. And if God tells you to give something up, he's going to replace it with something superior to what you think you had. Amen? And that's just the way it is. And you're not going to know this until you start to practice this, until you start to apply this in your life and say, okay, Lord, from now on, I'm going to start acknowledging you in all of my ways. Mm-hmm. That's called following Jesus, acknowledging him in what? All your ways. See, sometimes we don't want to acknowledge Jesus in all of our ways because he may have a response that's not favorable to what we want to do. Don't look so sanctified. Isn't that true? We have to deal with this flesh that wants to resist the will of God. And we have to submit ourselves willingly to the will of the Father. But understand that God's heart towards you is good. Amen? And he wants you to have treasure in heaven. He wants you to have an abundant welcome into heaven. He wants you to share in his glory someday. Amen? So he commits himself to us, and he's asking us to commit ourselves back to him, to submit to his will, live for him in this world. Amen? Knowing that what you give to the Lord, you never lose. You give your life to him, you don't lose it. You try to save yourself, spare yourself, pity yourself, you'll lose it. You see, you can't do the will of God if you are having a pity party. If you're just concerned about you, you're not going to do the will of God. You have to be selfless about this. You have to disown yourself, deny yourself, in order to do the will of God. But I've discovered that when I say no to me and yes to Jesus, I never regret it. I never regret it. There's times when I'm like, sometimes I have a bad attitude. You get that call 3 o'clock in the morning. Whatever. Or God's asking you to do something. And he's asking you to cooperate with him. Be willing. Amen. Be a good servant of the Lord. Knowing that if he's going to tell you to deny something of yourself, he's going to replace it with something better. How about the joy of the Lord being your strength? You know, people that are living out the will of God for their lives are joyful. Yeah. There's great joy in serving the Lord. Even the disciples who were flogged for the name of Jesus went out rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer stripes for him. Amen. To receive stripes for him. That was the joy of the Lord. That was a supernatural joy. Of course, it was the Spirit of God that was upon them and in them, and that was given them the ability, amen, to endure the opposition of the enemy and still overcome that flesh that wanted to probably submit to political correctness. Mm-hmm. Jesus is saying you can't pity yourself if you're planning to live out the will of God for your life. Now think about this. What if Jesus had pitied himself? Did Jesus pity himself? Many times Jesus was tempted with self-pity. How about the wilderness temptations? Amen. Where Satan said what? Well, you're hungry, turn these stones into bread. Sounds like a reasonable thing to do if you're hungry. All right. And there's no, you know, Fred Meyer nearby. What are you going to do? How about performing a miracle, Jesus? You could just turn those stones into bread. The problem was the source of that. Satan was trying to get Jesus to obey him and do contrary to the Father's will. And sometimes, again, the enemy seems to be reasonable in his requests. You see, we've all believed something to be good and true until after we did it. And then you regret it. We're not to live by the way things appear, and we're not to be wise in our own understanding. But we are to fear God and depart from evil. So Jesus could not pity himself, and he would not submit himself to obey the adversary. Because remember, our forefathers, amen, and Adam, did disobey the Father, amen, gave in and yielded to the serpent. And as a result, sin has come upon all of us. But Jesus overcame the world. Amen. Jesus was without sin. Hallelujah. He would not yield. He would not listen. He gave no place to the devil. In fact, Jesus said, the devil has no place in me. Zero. How many know that God wants the same for his holy people? We have zero room for the devil. Amen. If the devil's in, get him out. All right. We're supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God wants us to be filled, amen, with Him. Hallelujah. So no matter how tough things were, Jesus refused to listen to the voice of Satan. Proverbs 3 and verse 7, here it is, do not be wise in your own eyes. That's where we get into trouble. We try to operate by our own logic and by our own human reasoning. But guys, even if we think we have a good idea, let me encourage you to run it by the desk of your Father in heaven. Amen. And ask the Lord, is this okay, Lord? Is this a good idea? Because I've had a lot of good ideas that turned out to not be such a good idea. You know, you saw something shiny that you wanted to buy. And you were a little reluctant to ask the Lord whether this is okay. Because you just want it so badly. And you're afraid you might get a response that's not favorable to what you want. So you just decide, I'm not going to ask. I'm just going to do it. And then later say, why, Lord, am I in such a mess? Or even, why did you do this? Mm-mm. So often I think we blame God for the things that we do. How many know that God does everything good? His ways are perfect. Are we willing to really submit to Him and acknowledge Him in everything we're doing? We can save ourselves a lot of heartache. Boy, I wish I could go back and make some changes. How about you? But God can give you a new beginning and a good future if you're willing just to say yes. Say yes, Lord. Be a yes person, amen, when it comes to Jesus. Here's another one. Jesus was tempted in the garden, wasn't he? With self-pity. He struggled with it. But he came to the place in Luke 22:42 where he said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus was tempted by the Roman soldiers. Amen. As he hung on the cross, he says, they said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Luke 23:37. Jesus was tempted to pity himself also by the thief on the cross. If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. Luke 23:39. We are supposed to follow the example of our Lord. He had to deny himself. Submit himself to the Father's will and not spare himself. Fully commit himself to the Father's will. And he fully obeyed the Father's will. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. John 10:17, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. So you and I are called to join the Lord in His mission. In Hebrews 12:1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now here it is, who for the joy that was set before him. For the joy that was set before him. Not joy necessarily in the moment, but he saw the joy. And I believe this way, guys, the greatest joy to the Lord was you and I with Him. You and I together with Him. He purchased us with His own blood. He bought us, paid in full with His own blood, so we could be with Him. He loves us that much. No one took His life from Him. He said, I lay it down willingly for my sheep. And He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And what? Now He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Guys, the way up in the kingdom is the way of servanthood. Amen. It's to submit ourselves to the will of the Father, to live out the purpose of God while we're here. Come on now. God saved us with a purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. Not just to get goosebumps on Sunday morning, amen, but to receive God's power, amen, so we can be a bold witness for Him, so we can be an expression of God's heart wherever we find ourselves. How about beginning in our own families, right? Hallelujah. And to our children. Hallelujah. Ladies, there's your mission field right now, amen, to pour into your children and fathers too into your children, right? Pour into your spouse. Pour into one another. Hallelujah. Pour into your brother and your sister. You have something that God has invested in you if you're in Christ that is of value. Don't ever think that you're not important or you don't have value. God saved you because you do have value. Because you are worth something. And God wants you to be about His business, living for eternity, understanding that one day we're going to see Jesus. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I want to hear Jesus say what? Well done. Amen. The Apostle Paul, what an example. He didn't spare himself, but fully obeyed the will of God. Look, Paul did struggle, of course. It didn't mean that he didn't struggle with self-pity, but ultimately he did not allow the enemy to talk him out of the will of God. And guys, this is what the enemy is going to offer you: alternatives to the will of God. I'll give you an example, maybe a practical one. God wants you to come to church. God wants you to gather. All right? The Spirit may be telling you, I want you to go to church tonight, for example. All right? And that other part of you, though, that is susceptible to temptation, will say, but you're tired. You're not going to get anything out of it, or nobody will miss you if you're not there. And so the enemy works on about 100 different people. And he's speaking to everybody and say, oh, just stay home, stay home, stay home. Guess what? If 100 people listen to just stay home, nobody's showing up. And yet God had a plan in the gathering. Every time we get together, God has something He wants to accomplish. It's God's plan for us to gather. It's not mine. It's God's plan that we would do what? Gather in His name. And when we gather together as a corporate body, you can have a fuller expression of the different giftings, the diversity of giftings. Amen. If we're open and yielded and allowing God to work through us, amen, we can be mutually edified as each member is doing its part to build up the body of Christ. Amen. Just as Noah was called to build the ark, we are called, amen, to build up the body of Christ, to partner with Him in His mission. And so we have to have the same attitude that was in Christ Jesus, the same attitude of our Lord, amen, who made Himself of no reputation. It doesn't matter what people think. What matters is what the Lord thinks. People are not going to like you. Not everybody's going to like you. Get over it. No matter how hard you try, you're going to get some dislikes. I had 5,000 likes and that one dislike. Oh, I'm just crushed. You know, and even if you had 5,000 dislikes and one like, if that like was Jesus, you're doing quite well. Amen. Because He's the one that we're going to see someday. Hallelujah. He's the one that we're here to please. So what did God tell Paul? Remember, he had this thorn in the flesh, and he prayed 3 times that the Lord would take it away. And the Bible says it was a messenger from Satan, actually. Maybe a little imp running around, but it was to keep him humble. And he prayed 3 times that the Lord would take it from him, and he didn't. What did the Lord say to him in 2 Corinthians 12:9? My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Wow. See, this is not logical to human beings. Strength and weakness? No, it's strength to strength, right? Power to power. He who has the most toys wins, you know. He who's at the top of the pile is chief. But the Lord says, no, he who serves is greatest. Amen. And if you're making a name for Jesus and not a name for yourself, you'll be rewarded for that. Even as Jesus didn't spare himself, but committed himself to the Father, not to make a name even for himself, he made a name for the Father. If you think about it, amen, Jesus always pointed to the Father. The Father in me is doing the works. In jail, Paul and Silas, remember that? They were praying at midnight, right? Around maybe 1159 to 1201, around that time frame. Some, we don't know exactly, but they sang praises. Now, these jails, guys, you know, our jails are not nice, but these jails are really bad. They were funky and underneath and rats and stench. And, I mean, it was a deplorable situation. And yet, what were they doing? They weren't snibbling, amen? They were praising God. It says in Acts 16:25, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. They were being a witness even in that situation. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed because they were praising God. God intervened in that situation. God inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. You want to get the devil out of your head? You want to release yourself out of bondage? Start giving God praise and give him your best praise. Hallelujah. I find that it works for me. Sometimes I just need to get my ugly praise on as bit, as Larry would say. Amen. Get over what people think. God tells you to dance and run around and pew hop and swing from chandeliers. And well, don't swing from these chandeliers, but that wouldn't be advisable. But I'm saying is that, you know, sometimes you just got to get over yourself. And that helps us get over ourselves. David got over himself when he danced before the Lord. You know? Because sometimes it's our human pride that gets in the way of us receiving from God. Well, I ain't going down there. People think I'm not spiritual. I ain't going down that altar. What will people think? I had everybody so convinced I was so godly. Think about it. That's what it is. So I'm just saying what sometimes we think as human beings. Yeah. If we are fooling ourselves, we're not fooling God. You got to get over yourself. What do people think? Well, what does God think? That's what matters. I think the enemy convinces a lot of people that they're just all that. So that they won't run to the Lord. They won't repent. They won't turn from their wicked ways. Because he wants you convinced that, well, I've been serving the Lord all these years. I've sat in that same pew right by that brass plaque. And yet sometimes you see some people that have not moved from the same spot they've been for so many years that they just become sour. There's no joy. Amen. There's no joy in their walk. It's all doom and gloom. I find that the Lord is a pleasure. The Lord is pleasurable. I enjoy the Lord. How about you? And we have freedom in the Lord. Hallelujah. And you can be you. You don't have to act like anybody. Just be you in Him. Submit yourself to God. Listen to His voice. And get over yourself. Because if you are given over to self-pity, you're not going to fulfill the will of God. Can I suggest to you that there are people that are home today that might be having a pity party about something? And you know, the enemy can cause a situation to arise just before you're supposed to come and gather. On the way in, maybe. So he, right? So he can get you into a funk. The enemy wants to get people upset. He wants to get us into self-pity. He wants us to focus on us and what people think. You know, because if he can do that, then we're not going to be willing to suffer for the Lord. We're not going to be willing to give anything up. We don't want to sacrifice anything, see? If I'm pitying myself, then I'm not going to give like God tells me to give. I'm not going to do what God tells me to do because I'm sparing myself. And the enemy will try to convince you that what you have to invest is not worth the investment. You don't want to give that up because then you'll lose. But whatever you lose for Jesus, you gain. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, think about this. Paul told Timothy, just a reminder, that you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardship. Oh, I don't know about hardship. I like having it easy. I did it my way. It's true. But in order to live out the plan, the purpose of God, we have got to get over ourselves and no longer be in it for ourselves. When we are focused on self, we get into self-pity. We start to wallow in, oh, woe is me. Look how bad things are in my life. And therefore, what happens is you end up shutting down and you're no longer pursuing the plan of God, the will of God, because you just focused on your problem rather than on your mission. You've heard this illustration many times, but you know, a dog that's in a kennel, it sits around and swats fleas. But when he's on a hunt, he forgets all about the fleas. And sometimes we can be like that. If we're not engaged and involved in God's plan, his purpose for us, then we can get into this place where we're just like, everything is an irritation. And we're focused on, oh, the devil. Forget the devil. Get your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Live out the plan of God for your life. Hallelujah. Get on mission. We had some neighbors growing up. They had hounds. Beagles and noisy. And they had a lot of, they had kennels of these dogs. And they were close and they were across the street. And they're, I don't know if you ever heard a kennel of hounds. But you know, and forgive me, Chuck and Brenda, because I think you have a beagle. I'm sorry. Beagles are cute, but they're not necessarily the smartest dog on the block. But so, anyways, you know, a beagle will run itself to death if you don't stop it. They can be on a hunt, and they can run themselves to death. Yeah. But the mission that God calls us to, amen, hallelujah, is in perfect rhythm and order for our lives. It's fulfilling, you know. You'll be joyful in that, hallelujah. But in order to have the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, you cannot be relying so much on you as much as you are on the Lord. Yeah. You know, you've heard the expression man cave. Sometimes we get into our funk and into our place. And if we're not understanding our purpose and we're not on our mission, then we can just sit around and wallow, okay, in the things that are not right around us. I think even during this whole COVID craziness, and everybody's been home and isolated in front of tablets and watching too much TV, and somebody say amen. You know, you can just kind of get into that, to that funk, you know. And if you're not careful, boy, you can really walk away with a whole sour outlook on life, because it seems like so much of the media is controlled. And the narrative is hopelessness. You know? And if you're not doing the will of God and you're just sitting around watching this stuff, it's very easy to get caught up in self-pity and, you know, and get depressed. And, I mean, the suicide has gone off the chart because people have just been, you know, hurt. What do we do? Well, we have to make a decision who we're going to serve. And, you know, it's so often I bring this up, but, guys, it's really about God first and everything, and prioritizing the mission of God above my own things. Seeking first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, right? And his righteousness, seeking first. And then everything else is going to come into order. I find that to be true. God takes care of these things. Remember Moses? In Exodus 4:10, then Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent." He's calling him, right, to be the deliverer of his people. He says, "Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you shall say." Now, what did he do? God says, "Moses, your excuses are no good. I've got a mission for you. The gifts and callings are without repentance. You have been given a stewardship, a responsibility. And so don't get into a pity party, because it's not going to do any good." Jeremiah, here's another one. Jeremiah 1:6. "Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak." All right. So what is he doing? He's complaining that he's not qualified to do what God called him to do, as if God didn't know what he was capable of doing. Jonah, we all know about Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Yeah, he had a different idea. So Jonah met a great fish. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. He had an attitude adjustment. In other words, God did not pity Jonah. God gave him an assignment, and he was going to be held accountable. Guys, the same thing is true for God's mission for you. God chooses who he will, and he invests in each one of us what he decides to invest in us. And he gives us a responsibility with that gift to be about his business. Amen. And using that gift, amen, and sowing into the lives of others. And we cannot be given over to self-pity if we're going to be faithful stewards of God's investment. If we're going to accomplish God's will, we got to come to the place where we're willing to say, "Yes, Lord, I don't understand why these things are happening, or why you would ask me to do it this specific way." You know, there was a song out years ago, "God, please don't send me to Africa." The mission, right? There's bugs and critters and all everything else out there. But Lord, I would really be a good missionary if you sent me to Hawaii. But see, if we're sparing ourselves, we might say no to something that's of greater blessing to us, but also a benefit to others, and it would please the Father. And we have to ask the question, who are we pleasing? Are we pleasing the devil, the crowd, ourselves? Or are we going to please the Lord? As a believer, we have to make a stand for righteousness in this crooked world. Amen? This sin-sick world. We have to be lights. We have to be salt in this world. He didn't say sugar. He said salt. Amen? So we're going to be influencers for the kingdom. And that means that I have to be willing to do things God's way that often is going to be contrary to the direction that the world is going. And therefore becoming an enemy of the world. If we're living out the will of God for our lives, there's going to be opposition. The enemy's not going to be happy about it. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we just thank you that we get to serve you. Hallelujah. And that you're with us. Thank you, Jesus. Gloria kashibiru lomokora namakasanya nakara namakara. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Glory to your name, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Don't ever allow self-pity to interfere with God's eternal plans for your life. Because God's not going to allow self-pity to abort his promises. We're all tempted with that, guys. You know I'm speaking the truth today. But self-pity never accomplishes God's plan. So we have to make a decision who we will serve, like Joshua did, and commit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Lord, where else can we go? You are eternal life. And you have the words of eternal life. Lord, we ask you for grace to help us. To strengthen, to sustain, to help us on our journey. That we might live out the plan of God, the will of God for us. In Jesus' name, Father, I just pray. Lord, you give strength, give help to this body. To minister, Lord, to those who are hurting today. To pour your holy oil upon them, Lord. God, I pray that you would guide us by your Holy Spirit and your perfect plan, your perfect will for our lives. God, I love you so much, and I want to please you. I want to honor you. And Lord, we have heard the joyful sound. We have heard the call, Lord, the higher call, the upward way. Hallelujah. As the song says, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Hallelujah. On Christ the solid rock. Yeah. Hallelujah. Lord, lift me up. And let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet. On higher ground. I want to live above the world. Though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound. The sound of saints on higher ground. Praise you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I pray your shalom, your divine covering over us today. Lord, as we go our separate ways, watch over, protect us from harm. Deliver us from evil. Lead us in the way that we should go. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.